President Reagan was shot 3 years ago this week. On that day, Bob Pierpont remembers being shocked. Almost all of us were, of course. Part of the shock was the revelation that the man arrested for the crime came from a family that seemed to have all the advantages.
This is a typical American child in a cowboy outfit, a gun on each hip. The photograph was taken in 1960. The child's name, John Hinckley, Jr.
On March 30th, 1981, our beloved son, John, shot the President of the United States and three other innocent victims.
John Hinckley Sr. and his wife Joanne are trying to answer the question of why their son. They are addressing audiences across the country about that agonizing question and the subject of mental illness.
The world was in shock, and millions of people were asking the question, how could anyone do such a terrible thing? And the answer is called schizophrenia.
The Hinckleys have established their own foundation, the American Mental Health Fund. They say they never knew their son was ill. They say their foundation will help others detect early signs of mental illness.
What we want to do now is see if we can make something good come out of this terrible tragedy. You know, our lives will never be the same. Many lives will never be the same. Many people were hurt. But, you know, we've got to go forward. We have to go on and do what we can in hopes that somebody can benefit.
One of the reasons you perhaps are doing this, has been speculated, is that you're getting rid of your own guilt.
Not guilt, necessarily. It is therapeutic for us. I don't deny that. Because we feel that we really are trying to make something good come out of all this. And that's the helpful thing. It's also helpful, though, to be able to go around the country and talk to the other people who are suffering from mental illness and have relatives who are, and try to be helpful to them, to give them some hope.
Jack and I have never put ourselves on a guilt trip because of what happened. We were devastated by it, of course, and, what happened to the victims is just something that we will have to continue to live with the rest of our lives. If there was guilt, it was in not recognizing John's symptoms as for what they were.
They say they believed their son was normal up until high school. Then there were signs of trouble.
The signs were very subtle. We were not aware at the time that John was ill, so we were not looking for symptoms. But what we were seeing in our son was mainly his depression, more and more of it as the time went on, and his withdrawal from just about everything outside the home. And his just seemingly inability to cope with anything. His schoolwork, his job, holding a job. Those were the symptoms that were present in our son.
He had a large weight gain at one point. He gained 60 pounds, almost 40% of his normal weight. And then he lost it again. And he also had frequent illnesses from one end of his body to the other, physical symptoms, not mental. But it was a psychosomatic thing that we couldn't figure out, we couldn't understand.
My recollection is that your son, when he was in college, had a number of problems, which you mentioned, for instance, withdrawal. He didn't have friends, he didn't seem to be doing well. You did visit him in college.
No, we didn't visit. We talked to him once a week on the phone, but we did not visit him at college. He came home to visit us every Christmas, except one, to towards the end, but we talked to him weekly on the phone.
And sometimes on summer vacation. You see, John was away at college for over a 7-year period, and we were under the impression he did have friends at college. He was leading a more normal life there. That was our impression.
Despite that impression, the Hinckleys decided their son should see a psychiatrist.
He said it was immaturity. He said that John had the maturity of about a 14-year-old. Well, you see, John was 25 at the time, and that should have been a warning signal to us.
But the signal was strong enough to spur the Hinckleys to act. They took the psychiatrist's advice and sent their son away from home, hoping he could mature into independence. But he kept coming back.
We got an early morning call, 4:30 in the morning, from John in New York, broke, incoherent. He hadn't eaten in several days, and he wanted to come home. The doctor had told us before that we couldn't take John home, we shouldn't take John home, that we should get control of the situation. As long as we let John call all the shots, this could go on forever. So, in line with that, I had to tell John on the phone that he couldn't come home that day. We arranged to meet John Saturday night at the airport. I told John when I got to the airport, he looked awful. He was dazed. He needed a shave. I took him over to an unused area in the airport, and I sat him down and did the only thing I knew how to do as a father. I lectured him, and I told him that he had let us down, and therefore we couldn't take him home again. I then gave him some money that I had in my billfold, told him goodbye, asked him to stay in touch. And that was the last time I saw him before the shooting.
Mr. President!
Jr. was found not guilty by reason of insanity. He was committed to St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital here in Washington. His parents have since moved to the area to be near their son. Every 6 months, Hinckley is entitled to a hearing on whether he is fit for release, and they believe someday he will be set free.
Do you think that your son John is curable?
Yes, we do.
Surely.
Can you tell me why you think he's curable?
Well, because we're optimistic about everything, and we are his parents, and we think that he's getting good care.
And we've seen progress.
We are seeing progress.
We have seen progress.
We are given every...
So we are optimistic because of that, and we're optimistic because of the care and the therapy that he's getting. And we are involved in therapy with him now for an hour and a half a week.
Oh, you see him then
every
week. Yes, we have weekly therapy, family therapy sessions with John and a doctor there.
Uh-huh. And he seems to be making progress.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
How do you think the American public is going to react if, in a given number of years, the doctors at the mental hospital say he's well enough to be released?
We're hopeful that the thinking people will realize that John should not be punished because he was ill. If we can get that message across, that will help a great deal. That's not the sole purpose of what we're doing, however. If we can just inform people that mental illness is real, that it prevents people from acting in a normal, logical way, that they will accept that. And if the doctors and the judge say that he is ready for release, that they will accept it.